Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is Full Spectrum CBD? Full Spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than Full Spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, Full Spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
All righty. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast, the day you've really all been waiting for Friday, October the 8th, 2021, the day before John Lennon's birthday. Ladies and gentlemen, that's right. Tomorrow is John Lennon's birthday. Would have been John Lennon's birthday. He would have been 81 years... No. Yeah. No, wait. Yeah, 81 years old. I'm Derek Hunter. He was born in 1940. I don't know. You shouldn't drink this early in the day. Anyway, I am Derek Hunter. I am your host. Thank you for listening, downloading, sharing, telling a friend, all that good stuff. I appreciate the use of your ears. That's what makes it all worthwhile. You can email me, DerekAllenHunter@gmail.com, and do not forget about the curse program. Tomorrow, the Week in Effin' Review. Lord knows this week needs some effing review, and it will get the treatment it so desperately deserves at patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. That's right, patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. That's where you can enter to win the signed books. You have until, like, Sunday at noon to do that. And all those things, everything is explained there. Plus there are pictures from, my daughter's birthday of her blowing out a candle and she didn't make too big of a mess out of the cupcakes, but they just ate the frosting off the cakes. I don't understand. Frosting is like, I don't like frosting. I don't really like cake all that much, but I'll eat cake, especially if it's moist. Frosting is just sugar. I got no use for that. I don't know. Anyway, that's just me. I'm a horrible person and probably a bad father. Anyway, don't forget about that. Patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. $5 a month for really hours worth of joy. And don't forget about your CBD needs at AncientLifeOil.com. That's right, AncientLifeOil.com. You go there, you check out the deal. They have deals all the time. The great product is 100% pure organic CBD oil, not genetically modified. Nothing fake about that. And it's a great price for a great product. I use it, and you can get it, throw it in your cart, and then when you go to checkout, you enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at checkout, and you click apply, and you get free fast shipping on top of everything else. You can't lose. AncientLifeOil.com, promo code Derek, click apply, and you will be a winner. All right, now let's get started so we can start the damn weekend, huh? It's another one of those action-packed days where the left, my God, I don't understand how anybody can... I don't understand how leftists reproduce, because honestly, I don't understand why anybody would want to do that with some of these people, considering how miserable they are in general. To be perfectly honest with you, they're going off about Dave Chappelle. They're going off about Dave Chappelle. They're going off about a comedian. Bernie Sanders doesn't understand basic math or democracy, which, you know, if you think about it, it makes sense. And more racism from the left because, well, that's how the left rolls. It's who they are. Good Lord. But I want to start off with Dave Chappelle because this was the one that was burning up. I saw this last night, and every time anybody is funny, and anytime anybody is actually funny, deliberately funny, purposefully funny, to be purposefully funny, you have to have a willingness to say things that are going to make some people uncomfortable. You have to be able to poke. That's just how comedy works. You get all these comedians now, they're just interested in feelings and making sure that everybody at the show has to have fun. Everyone has to be, no, not everybody at your show has to have, well, sure, you want everybody at your show to have fun, but that should not be your driving force because you want the majority of them to be entertained. That's what they're coming for. And too many people are now interested in only making sure that nobody's offended. But making sure that nobody is offended, you're not funny. It's like the people who are like, oh, I'm funny. I'm going to do some comedy for you. And you get up on stage. I'm going to do some comedy for you. We're going to make sure that you have a good time. All right. Thank you guys for coming. Like, okay, well, right. You just spent the last hour talking about how you're going to be entertaining. You never got around to it. I always say, and it's true, if you have to tell people you are something, you aren't. You aren't. If you're running around telling people how smart you are, the odds of you being smart go down exponentially. If you're telling people how funny you are or how funny you're going to be, rather than just being funny, you're not probably that funny. Certainly not as funny as you find yourself to other people. Not as smart as you find yourself to other people. I don't care if you graduated Harvard. If you can't tie your shoes, who cares? And I don't care how long you worked on this comedy routine. If you don't laugh, it's not worthwhile. You could spend hours, you could spend days, you could spend your whole life leading to this crescendo moment. If it's not funny, who cares? Most of the time, the people with the big buildups aren't funny. I'm sorry. Some people are just naturally funny. Some people are just naturally smart. Other people can work at it and come by it. And other people live in a delusional world where because they make themselves laugh, they think that everybody else will. Or they find one person out there who agrees with their weird sense of humor and go, oh, this is it. Half the shows on the Cartoon Network at night are like that, where they're just like watching this going, I could see how if I were 20 and stoned out of my gourd, that this would be amusing in the pitch, but not the execution. Then still, they're making shows. Dave Chappelle does comedy that is funny, period. And he doesn't care who he's talking about. His priority when he goes on stage is to make as much of the audience laugh as possible. There are some comedians who seem to want to go out there and just try and make people uncomfortable. There are other comedians, supposed comedians, who go out there and say, well, I'm going to go out there and make a political point. Sadly, that's far too many of them these days because you get canceled otherwise. You get the angry mob of flying monkeys coming after you going, you can't say that. That's wrong. You said mean things about somebody. Don't you understand how that makes people feel? Yeah, I do. It makes the vast majority of people laugh. And if you're wildly uncomfortable for a second because somebody made a joke about somebody who shares an irrelevant characteristic with you, then the problem is you. The problem is you. You are not comfortable with who you are. You seem to seek validation externally rather than internally. And you want things that you had nothing to do with to be looked at as accomplishments. You don't have anything to do with your skin color. You don't have anything to do with, we're told, your sexual orientation. So if you had nothing to do with it, how could anybody really make fun of it? And how could anybody care somebody's making fun of it? And they're not making fun of it as they're a witch, burn them. Let's go get them. After this show, let's go find all the trans people and beat them to a bloody pulp. That's not what Dave Chappelle is doing, but that is the group who Dave Chappelle offended. All started yesterday with a review of his latest stand-up comedy special on Netflix in NPR. So your tax dollars are funding this. A guy named Eric Deegans. Eric Deegans is a man of color. Just so you know, as is Dave Chappelle. They are of the same color. But Eric Deegans is a taxpayer-funded critic for the National Public Radio. So, you know, and Dave Chappelle is interested in being funny. Those two things at loggerheads. He writes, Dave Chappelle does not make it easy. He is one of the most brilliant stand-up comics in the business, but he also makes a sport of challenging his audience, putting ideas in front of them that he knows are uncomfortable and unpalatable to those invested in modern notions of how to talk about feminism, gender, sexual orientation, and race. Now, you would think this was a doctoral thesis at some elite East Coast school, not an Ivy League school, because you'd say this is too stupid, but some elite East Coast school. Somebody's going to graduate with $200,000 in student loan debt behind this thing. But no, it's your tax dollars at work. Sometimes he does it to make a larger point, but at times, especially during his latest special for Netflix, The Closer, he also seems to have a daredevil's relish for going to dangerous places on stage and eventually winning his audience over, regardless of what he's actually saying. Now, Eric Duggins, chastising not only Dave Chappelle, but his audience, because they dared laugh. They dared laugh. That's what he's saying right there. Eventually winning over his audience, regardless of what he's actually saying. Of course, these days, the fix is in, he continues. Chappelle is considered the greatest of all time among many comedy fans. He says it about himself, Riley, toward the end of the special. The closer finds him surrounded by an enthusiastic audience in Detroit, ready to go wherever he takes them. God forbid you go to a concert, a stand-up performance, a comedy club, anywhere, and you go, you know what? I'm going to go wherever the band takes me. Well, you're damn right you are. You go to the Rolling Stones are touring. You go to the Rolling Stones concert and say, well, if they do not play this particular set list, I will not go with them. I will start booing. I will start throwing things at the stage. No, you go along for the ride wherever they take you. You may not like it, but that's the deal. And if you go to a comedy show and you sit there and you go, well, I hope this person won't offend me. That's what you're sitting there going, gee, I hope this person won't offend me, while you're twiddling your thumbs or playing with your fidget spinner or whatever. Do yourself a favor. Do the world a favor. Not only don't go to a comedy special, don't leave your house. Do not leave your house. Just don't do it. No good can come from you leaving your house. So don't. It continues. That much is obvious early in the special when he talks about an idea for a film centered on an ancient civilization that discovered space travel, left the planet, and then came back, determined to claim Earth as their own. His punchline is the title for the film, Space Jews. You know, you can tell that Eric Greitens did not enjoy that. I don't know what the setup is. I'm sitting there going, I'm not going to take up the NPR joyless write-up of that comedy and say, no, I'm not going to judge it. Now, he goes on. I will watch this special when I have the time. But he goes on to talk about what the real controversy is that Dave Chappelle made jokes sort of at the expense of trans people, the A, B, C, D, E, F, G community, or no, LGBTQ, although there is a new makeup of that, too. I'll tell you about in a second. But the LGBTQ, RSTUVWXYZ community. We actually have, I have some clips. I have two clips here that I want to play from this. This is all I've seen of the special. It's fine. I don't think it's comedy gold, per se, but there are moments in there where you laugh. But it is, that's just my taste. I would never say you will not find this funny because you may find this funny. I find it funny. I just don't find it ha-ha funny. I think Chappelle has done better, and I suspect Chappelle has done a lot better in this special. You can even tell that Chappelle seems to be kind of safe, slow walking this because he recognizes he's walking on thin ice. But even this is offending people to the point that they're trying to cancel Dave Chappelle. So I want to give you an example. There's some bleeps in here. You can figure out what the words are behind it.
They've canceled people that are more powerful than me. They canceled J.K. Rowling. My God, J.K. Rowling wrote all the Harry Potter books by herself. She sold so many books, the Bible worries about her. And they canceled her because she said in an interview, and this is not exactly what she said, but effectually, she said gender was a fact. And then the trans community got mad as they started calling her a TERF. I didn't even know what the that was. But I know that trans people make up words to win arguments. So I looked it up. TERF is an acronym. Stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist. This is a real thing. This is a group of women that hate transgender. They don't hate transgender women, but they look at trans women the way we blacks might look at blackface. It offends them. Like, ooh, this is doing an impression of me.
Okay, so far, not exactly, let's go find some gay people and beat them up. Let's go find some trans people and beat them up. There was that dust-up between trans and J.K. Rowling, because J.K. Rowling did essentially say, look, women are women, men are men. Let's not cheapen what it means to be a woman by saying that you can just declare yourself to be a woman. You notice that nobody really arguing the other direction. Nobody's ever, there's no concern about, well, what about all the trans boys? What about all the girls who declare themselves boys who will be dominating boys' sports? Nobody's ever said that. I wrote about it a while ago, but in general, nobody's sitting there worried going, oh, geez, I'm afraid that this girl is going to take my son's place on the football team. No, not very likely. And then they tell you with one, men and women, there's no difference whatsoever. In fact, gender is a social construct. Like, well, then why isn't it that there aren't any you know, trans boys out there taking spots in sports away from biological boys? Why is that? And then they immediately call you a hate monger and chase you into the woods. Back to Chappelle. He continued, now so far, very calm, very tame. But this is enough to get him canceled. This is hate mongering. This is an outrage, according to the left. The outrage continues.
Now, I shouldn't speak on this because I am not a woman, nor am I trans. But as we've established, I am a feminist. That's right. I'm Team Turf. I agree, man. Gender is a fact. You have to look at it from a woman's perspective. Look at it like this. Caitlyn Jenner, whom I've met, wonderful person. Caitlyn Jenner was voted Woman of the Year. Her first year as a woman. Ain't that something? Beat every in Detroit. She's better than all of you. Gender is a fact. This is a fact. Every human being in this room, every human being on Earth, had to pass through the legs of a woman to be on Earth. That is a fact.
Ooh, there you go. That is hate mongering right there, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize. I should have apologized in advance for exposing you to such a horrible, horrible series of obvious thoughts that have persisted with us throughout all of humanity, all of human existence, that men are men and women are women. But that is enough to get him attacked. That is enough to get Dave Chappelle, well, they're trying to get Dave Chappelle canceled. It's how pathetic our society is. That's how pathetic our society. And it's being spearheaded by none other than National Public Radio, because it's your tax dollars at work. Feeling ripped off yet? You should. And I shift up here. Oh, by the way, did you notice there was a Texas school shooting the other day, and it was all the rage. It was, you know, the media went full bore into it. It was trending on social media. They were talking about it. Now it's gone. Now the story's gone. It's not because nobody was killed. Thank God nobody was killed. Four people were shot. It's because the media, and they look at the situation and they go, oh, it was a black kid who did it. All right, well, never mind then. You want to talk about the soft bigotry of low expectations and the patheticness and pathetic nature of our media. Look no further than every time there's a school shooting or a shooting anywhere where they go, ooh, who did it? Ooh, now that doesn't help us. That doesn't help us at all. Never mind, moving on. It's like if you look at a map in a newsroom, I imagine it doesn't have Chicago on it. If it's a map of the United States, they just go, well, Chicago. I heard it was a flyover. It's flyover country. Let's just ignore it. Pretend it doesn't exist. That's who the left is. That's how the left is. I want to play you some audio, speaking of how the left is, of Comrade Bernie Sanders. Oh, yes. Dos vidania, comrade. Who the hell takes their wife to the Soviet Union for your honeymoon? That's what Bernie and his wife did. They it was the Soviet Union then, too. It wasn't like, well, let's go to Eastern Europe and see the former Soviet bloc. No, no, no. They wanted to get there and see the actual oppression and admire it. Well, Bernie Sanders is still showing that kind of belief here. This first clip, Bernie basically, well, he doesn't basically say, he says two people can't stop 48 people in the United States, and he's very mad that Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin exist and that they're Democrats, and they will simply not allow him and his fellow travelers to get what they want.
But two people do not have the right to sabotage what 48 want and what the President of the United States want. That, to me, is wrong.
Yeah, but two people, it's just wrong. Two people can stop what 48 people want and the President. Except it's not two people. It's 52 people. It's 52 people. There are 100 United States senators. But you see, in Bernie Sanders' world, in the progressive fascist world, opposition to them doesn't exist. And it's not just that they deny that opposition exists. It's that anybody who doesn't agree with them doesn't exist. They're unpersoned, to put it in terms that the left would normally use. They're unpersoned. They're not even just we're ignoring them. We're unpersoning them. Yeah. 52 is what it is. There are 52 votes, not for Bernie Sanders' $3.5 to $5.5 trillion spending bill. Not two. This is what democracy looks like, Bernie. You sit there and you whine and complain about the Electoral College, but somebody got more of the popular vote than other people, blah, 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 blah. Like, okay, well, think of it in those terms. The popular vote is 52 to 48 against. You don't get what you want, even if the President of the United States is allegedly on your side. Now, Bernie Sanders then goes on to attack Joe Manchin. I love the way Bernie says poverty. It's poverty. Does he support poverty? Does he want more poverty? It's such a stupid high school Bush League argument. And you realize that this guy has been a politician the vast majority of his life. The early part of his life, he tried to live in a commune, and he got kicked out of the commune because he was too lazy. That literally, he wasn't carrying his own weight. He got very little responsibility in a freaking hippie commune, and he couldn't bring himself to do that, so they kicked him out of a commune. How lazy do you have to be kicked out of a commune? Bernie found a way, and then he found his way into politics, where he was a lazy mayor of Burlington, Vermont. Talking about poverty. We're doing poverty. He's been fighting poverty for so long, you would think that there was no poverty in Vermont. He had to have gotten rid of the poverty by now, right? No. No, he hasn't. But he makes a straw man argument against Joe Manchin. Is he in favor of poverty? Does he want more poverty? Listen to this garbage.
Now, Senator Manchin, as I understand it, talked about today about not wanting to see our country become an entitlement society. Well, I am not exactly sure what he means by that. Does that mean that we end the $300 direct payments for working class parents, which have cut childhood poverty in this country as a result of the American Rescue Plan, in half? Is protecting working families and cutting childhood poverty an entitlement? Does Senator Manchin think we should once again have one of the highest levels of childhood poverty of any major country on earth?
What about poverty? Does Joe Manchin want to continue to throw children in poverty into wood chippers? Or is Joe Manchin against throwing children in poverty into wood chippers? He's unclear on this issue. It's unclear what Joe Manchin wants to do. So we're going to go with that he loves poverty. Poverty, poverty, poverty. Are we going to continue these payments forever for working class? What is working class? Because pretty much everybody's getting these checks. And you do that. See, they do this for everybody. Here's $300 per child. We are helping you out. You get $300 per child. And because you can't say, well, hey, you're making $500,000 a year. You don't get it. You make too much money. You're not going to get this. Because if you do that, then it becomes a welfare program. But it's an entitlement, which is what Joe Manchin is talking about. If everybody gets it. Everybody gets it, then you get entitled to it. Everybody's entitled to it. That's the definition of an entitlement. Bernie Sanders is not dumb, ladies and gentlemen, although economically he is dumb. But he is evil. He is evil. There's a difference between the two. Doesn't often seem that way, but it is. Now, he circles back to this 2 versus 48 business again. This is all during a press conference in the United States Senate yesterday.
So my concern with Mr. Manchin is not so much what his views are. I disagree with him. But it is that it is wrong. It is really not playing fair that one or two people think that they should be able to stop what 48 members of the Democratic caucus want, what the American people want, what the President of the United States wants. That would be my position.
It's just not fair. It's just not fair. Oh, so they'd be able to stop. So what are you talking about? These people are voting how they want to vote right now. They'll likely cave in the end to some degree or another. But you're telling me that United States senators are not allowed to have differing opinions from you, Bernie? That is very Soviet. You're very dangerous. What you're calling for and what you're hoping to inspire is more of the harassment of those two members of the Senate, your two colleagues, presumably, than has already happened. Kyrsten Sinema has been chased into a bathroom. She's been cornered on a plane. She was confronted outside the Capitol the other day and chased to a car. And Comrade Sanders has no problem with it. Joe Manchin, it's telling, you know, all these progressive activists, they've gone to Joe Manchin's houseboat. They went to Joe Manchin's houseboat once. They canoed or they kayaked up to it. Nearly snapped a kayak. One of the ladies nearly snapped a kayak in half. But they kayaked up to it. And they stopped. They don't, they're not confronting. They're not running up, sneaking up on Joe Manchin anywhere. You notice that? They know where Joe Manchin lives. West Virginia isn't that far away. You could find Joe Manchin in West Virginia pretty easily. But they're not confronting him. They're confronting the woman. Why are they only confronting the woman? And why are they repeatedly confronting the woman and not the man? Because progressives like to feel tough without actually being tough. They aren't tough at all. There's a possibility Joe Manchin might go at them if they show up at Joe Manchin's house or they burst in on him in the bathroom. He might not appreciate that very much. So they go, oh, well, let's not do that, but let's go after the woman. Let's even send a man in the ladies' room. That's the Bernie Sanders way. This is also the Bernie Sanders way. Axios has the story. It is amazing. There was a letter circulated up on Capitol Hill condemning the attacks on Kyrsten Sinema. Bernie Sanders refused to sign it. It was a Democrat letter. Bernie Sanders refused to sign it. There's a story. Senator Bernie Sanders withheld support for a joint statement condemning last week's protests against Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona because it also wouldn't include a rebuke of her political views, Axios has learned. Yes. Apparently Bernie Sanders' new chief of staff is the ghost of James Hodgkinson, the guy who tried to kill a bunch of Republicans on that baseball field in 2017. An email exchange between Senate Democratic leadership aides obtained by Axios reveals Sanders withheld his name from a joint statement declaring protesters who followed Sinema into a bathroom and filmed her while using the restroom as, quote, plainly inappropriate and unacceptable. Sanders Communication Director Mike Kaska, I assume, C-A-S-C-A, asked that the statement be edited to include the preface, quote, we hope Senator Sinema will change her position on prescription drug reform and support a major budget reconciliation bill. Cory Booker's staff was circulating the letter on Cory Booker's behalf, and Bernie Sanders refused to sign it because it didn't start off with, we hope Senator Sinema will change her position on prescription drug reform and support a major budget reconciliation bill. It is a letter condemning people for busting into the bathroom to harass her. And you say, well, I can't, in good conscience, care about that unless I also get my political message in there. That's how Bernie Sanders is. the communications guy, Mike Kaska, said, "Thanks for organizing this and taking the pen, Jeff. Our proposed edit is in red." This is how they wanted the letter to start off. "While we hope Senator Sinema will change her position on prescription drug reform and support a major reconciliation bill, what happened in that video was a violation of her privacy and has no place in our public discourse, and we resolutely condemn it." We resolutely condemn it. Okay. Now, if you resolutely condemn it, why do you have to have it contingent upon your having another political statement in there? No holds barred. Absolutely, we condemn this unreservedly. Oh, wait, you won't let us have our language? Then we don't condemn it. Oh, what do you actually believe in there, Mike? Now, the Booker staffer, a guy named Jeff Geertz, writes back. He says, hey, Mike, thanks for the reply. My boss can't agree to that edit. Separately, I'll update everyone soon on signers. Want to make sure I give everyone a chance to process and consider. Thanks, Jeff. Mike, the Bernie Sanders communications guy, then responds, I can't have that edit. He responds, Sanders will not be signing. So please cut Senate Democrat leadership team from the headline. Yeah, it was issued. This was supposed to be a joint statement from Democratic leaders. Bernie says no. And Bernie says, if you can't have this political statement in there, I want you. You're going to have to rechange the whole way that the letter is signed. That it's not Democratic leadership joint statement on Sinema bathroom. It is now just a bunch of random Democrats. We're not interested. We don't care. Bernie Sanders, you heard him there complaining about these people, particularly Joe Manchin. Do you think Bernie Sanders would really be upset if somebody took a shot at one of these people? If threats turned to action? Do you really think Bernie Sanders would care? He pretended to care when James Hodgkinson was exposed as a Bernie bro, a Bernie campaign worker. He was upset that he was caught. He issued a statement saying, "Well, this breaks my heart if anybody did anything because of me. Oh, it's just terrible, terrible, terrible." And then he immediately went back to being who he was and accusing Republicans of trying to kill people, 10,000 a year, gonna kill them, we're gonna stop the Republicans. He went right back to doing exactly what James Hodgkinson's own writings said inspired him to try to commit those murders. Yeah. Bernie's cool with that. Communists always are. They always are. Oh, by the way, ABC News yesterday, breaking news. This would have been a stop the press moment. Instead, it didn't even get a story. It got a blog post. It literally did. They have a running blog. It's just, oh, here you go. There's one, two paragraphs. I could actually count the words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's about maybe 50 words in this whole thing. Headline for the blog post, more Americans died of COVID this year than all of 2020. Huh? Wait, what? I'm going to read you the entirety of the piece to show you how little ink this occasion got. More Americans have died of COVID-19 this year than from the virus in all of 2020, according to newly updated data from Johns Hopkins University. More than 353,000 COVID-19 deaths have been reported since January 1st, compared to 352,000 COVID-19 deaths in the first 10 months of the pandemic. Over the last month, the U.S. has reported more than 47,000 deaths. End. That's the whole post. That's the whole. Now, if Donald Trump was, remember when, like, now more people have died than died in the Vietnam War. Do you feel guilty now, Mr. President? Are you proud of yourself? Do you have an explanation? Will you justify? How dare you, Mr. President? Did you know that was the tone of an entire press conference under Donald Trump when more than 58,000 people died? Like, that was it. You've done this. Do you feel bad? Do you really think you should be running for re-election when more people have died in this than in Vietnam? There was no questions about this to Joe Biden yesterday at all. There's no questions to Joe Biden about anything at all, because he wasn't anywhere near anybody who might question him on this, which there's really honestly only one person who might question him on this, and it's Peter Doocy from Fox News. Nobody else in the press briefing room is worth a damn. Oh, maybe you get some fringe blogger or something who accidentally might ask a legitimate question, but otherwise no major outlet, and who cares? You know, if somebody asks that question, would anybody report on it? It's not enough to just get the question asked. You have to actually report on it. The media doesn't care. This happens, and you get a blog post that is maybe 40 words, 40 or 50 words. It seems like the guy who ran on, I'm going to shut down the virus and not you, I'm going to shut down the virus and not the country, maybe you'd want to, I don't know, that would warrant some kind of story. It would warrant some kind of recognition. But most of the cable nets have wiped off the counter now. It's not all lost, by the way. The American people are paying attention. A new Quinnipiac poll has Joe Biden's approval rating at 38%. It's a new low for him. So congratulations to you, Joe. You keep setting new records for yourself. They're in the bad way. And look, I want the president to be popular because that means that things are going well in this country. Things are not going well in this country. I don't want him to get his way, but I'd like things to be going well. But things are not going well. And they're not going well because he's getting his way. The most popular thing he is popular on, sadly, strangely, is COVID, where he has a 48 to 50 approval rating. 48% said yes, 50% say no. His best thing. And now more people have died on his watch than Trump's. Will anybody pay attention to that? No, they won't. I want to wrap it up with, speaking of communists and the left and how god-awful terrible they are, Ginger Goebbels yesterday at the White House press briefing was talking about gas. Gas prices are up significantly. It's costing you a lot more to fill up your tank now than it did last year. Because, you know, it's amazing what happens when you come in and you shut down pipelines and you ban drilling and you do all of the things that the Biden administration is doing. By the way, the UK is the UK government is warning people that they might not have enough electricity to keep everybody in electricity throughout the winter. They don't have severe winters like we do in the north in the United States here, but they still have winters. They could have rolling blackouts and food supply issues. They have supply chain issues. They have supply chain issues right now with gasoline. It's causing shortages. It's actually not causing shortages. It's causing panic buying, which is causing shortages because they don't have enough truck drivers. We don't have enough truck drivers here in this country either. And so gas prices are going up. Ginger Goebbels was asked about this yesterday, and her answer is basically, you know, well, we don't want gas prices to go up, but we got to address climate change. They don't actually give a damn.
In the COP's summit here, yeah. Do you worry that this could impact the pledges that countries are willing to make? Will other governments get weak-kneed about going green at a time when they're facing brewing sort of political crises at home over really skyrocketing prices of non-renewable fuel sources?
We certainly hope not. I mean, I think what COP26 is about is to continue the conversation on the international stage at the leader level. That has been going on below the leader level continuously, basically, about our need to work together to address the climate crisis. One of the greatest national security crises, the presidencies, a number of other world leaders agree on that front. Certainly, we all want to keep gasoline prices low, but the threat of the crisis, the climate crisis, certainly can't wait any longer.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, can't wait. Don't wait. No. I love the question, the framing of it. Are you worried that other countries are going to get weak-kneed just because their economies are going into the toilet because of these green policies? Well, we hope not. We hope not. We hope we all go down together. It would be terrible if some countries, you know, continue to thrive through free market capitalism while we, the United States of America, let all the air out of our own tires and screwed over our own population. It'd be terrible. We wouldn't want that. But we want gasoline prices to be lower. We just don't want gasoline prices to be lower. You've done literally everything possible. If you said, go find ways to raise gasoline prices, you'd do exactly what the Biden administration has done. You'd do exactly what the Biden administration has done. Spare me this. We want gasoline prices. We don't want. Yes, you do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. It's pretty simple. You're doing bad things. If you didn't want to get drunk, you wouldn't be drinking alcohol. All right. If you didn't want gas prices to be high, you wouldn't be limiting the supply. You wouldn't be taxing the hell out of it, trying to tax the hell out of it. This is your government, ladies and gentlemen. It's no wonder that Joe Biden's slipping in the polls. It's amazing that he's not in a complete and total free fall, at least not yet. We can always hope. Hope springs eternal, does it not? I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you actually go to patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast and subscribe to the Week in Effin' Review and enter the contest to win the signed book. You've got till Sunday at noon. It's signed book. It's Trump's Enemies by Corey Lewandowski and David Bossy. That's me knocking on it right there. It's signed by both. Autograph, genuine. Will pass any DNA certification. Of course, the Curse Program that will be live tonight at 12:01 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, which means you can have it technically on Friday in every other time zone in the United States of America. God bless America. Isn't it amazing the way that we control time? Otherwise, have a great weekend. Actually, either way, have a great weekend. Try to have some fun. Get out and enjoy the sun if it's sunny where you are this weekend, because winter is coming, whether you like it or not, not in like a lame Game of Thrones way. Thank you for listening. Thanks for your support. I'll see you later.
But two people do not have the right to sabotage what 48 want and what the President of the United States want. That, to me, is wrong.